ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדבריי.
אמן.
Okay, very well. Thank you very much. I'll leave me. I will put it in my pocket. Okay, good morning, everybody. So let's continue. We're finishing up yesterday, Pasuk Micha Perek Zayin, Pasuk I'm sorry, Pasuk Vav. I don't think Pasuk Perek Vav. What am I saying? I'm sorry. I'm almost over. Okay. So we finished up yesterday the Malbim, Pasuk Gimel, and let us now go further. Okay, let us go further. Let's start with Pasuk Dal. V'hoyezesh Shalom. V'hoyezeh Shalom Ashur, and the following will be, according to the Mitzudos, the Pirsum Shemo Yiyeh Sibos HaShalom, the purpose. Okay, the purpose of everything that's happening now, of the coming of Mashiach. This is a very important pasuk. The purpose of Mashiach is in order to bring peace into this world. Lamarbe Hashalom, Lamarbe Hamisra Ulishalom Ein Kates. One of the most famous psukim that is said concerning the Melech HaMashiach, that the purpose of the nature of the Melech HaMashiach is Lamarbe Hamisra. Misra is authority, the abundance of authority, Ulishalom Ein Kates. Peace, the unlimited nature of peace. This is how Yeshaya describes the role of the Melech HaMashiach. Now here, we have something a little bit different. What?
It's a Mem
Sofis. It's a Mem Sofis, correct. It's not a regular Mem. That Mem is a different type of Mem. So here we have a different take on the same exact principle. This is the peace. This is the purpose. V'hoyezeh. It appears the way the Mitzudo Stavit understands this pasuk is the purpose of all this, the purpose of the Melech HaMashiach coming and doing all this is in order, Shalom, in order to bring peace. And he gives now examples. Ashur ki yavo v'yaretzeinu, when Ashur will come in our land, v'chiyidrech bi'ar minoyseinu, and they will trample on our palace, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, v'hakeimonu olav shiva. Okay, let's go to the calm over there, we'll read more. Vakimonu olav shivaroyim, I will establish 7 shepherds, ushemoina nisichei adam, and 8 nisichei. Nisichei means also, it doesn't mean shepherds, it means leaders of man. Let's do one more pasuk. Pasuk hey, viro'u es eretz ashur bacheref, and they will roag, who here means the same we had yesterday, means they will shepherd the land of Ashur with a sword. V'yes Eretz Nimrod. Now, where did he come from? The land of Nimrod. He came out of nowhere over here. The land of Nimrod, which is obviously Nimrod was from Bavel, as Rashi will tell us, and we're now referring back to Bavel. Bif Socheha, which in their fortresses, in their palaces. V'hitzil me Ashur, and there will be salvation from Ashur, ki yavo v'yaretzeinu, v'chiyidrech b'gvuleinu. When they attempt to come in our land and trample upon our palaces, Hashem will allow the Melech HaMashiach to bring about salvation. Okay, we just said a lot of words which do not make much sense, and that's why we need to go and look at very carefully how the Mefarshim look at this. Let's see right away with the Mitzvah stuff in the Pasuk Dalet, and this is a very critical Pasuk, because this Pasuk refers to what we can say on Chanukah. Hakem lanu royim shiva. In the Mo'oz Tzur of Chanukah, most people have no clue what they're saying. When you come to the very last stanza, that we ask Hashem to establish for us the 7 shepherds. Who are the 7 shepherds? So here we go back to Pasuk Dal in the Mitzvot David. V'hoyezeh Shalom Pirsum Shemo Yihyeh Sibas HaShalom. According to the Mitzvot, it's the purpose of the Melech HaMashiach, the purpose of him becoming famous, becoming world famous person, is so that he will bring peace. Af Asher Kiyov Yartzeinu Lo Yihyeh Nedar HaShalom. even when our arch enemy Asher comes into the land, it will only be for the purpose of peace. Ki lo yavai la milchama kamo l'sha'avar ki behachna'o yavai. It's a very beautiful idea being expressed over here, is that even our enemies, they will come to visit us in our land for the purpose of peace. We have to understand that Micha, he's writing this, he's saying these words at a time where the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael is the nation of Ashur. The primary threat that Klal Yisrael faces is the nation of Ashur. They're trying to destroy them. Today, who would you say is our primary threat? There are a lot of nations. I don't know. It's not even so clear who you would call our arch enemy number one. You would say it's Iran. Is that really the major threat today?
To whom?
To Israel, the state of Israel, Medinas Yisrael.
Yes.
Iran, you would say, is
the,
if there would be one country, one authority that you can that you can eliminate, which one would it be? Iran.
With respect to Israel?
Yes. Okay. Okay. So think about in the times of Micha, who is the Iran of Micha? Ashur. It's not fathomable that they would come to Israel, they would come to Eretz Yisrael behachna, with humility, and want to make peace. But that's exactly what the pasuk says. Ashur ki yavoi v'artzeinu. When members of the nation of Ashur will come into our land, back to the Mitzudos, we do Mitzudos one more time. Kiyah Ashur, the last line of the Mitzudos stuff on page 496. Af Ashur kiyah v'yartzenu lo yeh nedar hashalom ki lo yavu levachama ki mo l'shavar ki yeh b'hachno yavo. You will come with humility. Okay, next page. Page v'haki moinul olav. Now we come to the very famous pasuk, and we're going to have Hashem will establish times of Mashiach in the Malasur. Chanukah's coming around the corner. It's the next festival. You know, they're supposed to. That's what you're supposed to do. After anyone do that? After Shmini Atzeret, after Simchas Torah, the minig is. I don't think anyone here did this, but the minig, it says this in holy books from the holy rebbes, that on the night after Simchas Torah, they would take out their Chanukah menorah and put it in position. You go from one holiday to the next. Just like after Yom Kippur, the Minig Shulchan Aruch says he's supposed to build a sukkah. After Simchas Torah is over, there was such a Minig, I saw this brought down, such a Minig to take out the Chanukah menorah. You're always anticipating, looking forward to the next Jewish holiday. And one of the highlights of Chanukah is the reading, the singing of the song of Mo'osur. And the end of Mo'osur concludes with the words, Hakem Lanu, we ask Hashem that He should establish for us Royim Shiva, seven shepherds. What in the world does that mean? It comes from this pasuk that we just read right now. Vakim Moinu Olav Shiva Royim, the seven shepherds. We will rule in our land, and we will establish in our authority to guide them. The Mitzvah stuff does not elaborate at all. In addition, eight leaders. Leaders who rule over the people. No elaboration whatsoever who are going to be the seven and the eight. In Koheles, we have Tein Chelek L'Shiva V'Gam L'Shemona. Give a portion for seven and for eight. So what does that mean? Someone to connect what it says in Koheles, give a portion for seven and for eight, refers to this. V'hakimaynu Olav Shiva Royim Ushmoina Nisichei Adam, seven shepherds and eight Nisichei, leaders of the people. Okay, we're going to come to this in a few moments with much more elaboration. Now, next pasuk hey, Vira'u, and these leaders, Heim Yanhigu es Eretz Ashur b'Chedev, Ritzon Lema Yaharig b'Chedev es Hamisarev al Hanho Goysam. They will slaughter. These seven/eight leaders will kill, will murder with the sword those people who refuse to follow the orders, the leadership of these 7/8 leaders. Likewise, an Eretz Nimrod. Okay, this is totally out of left field. We're now referring to the land of Bavel, the land of the Kastim, as the land of Nimrod. We have never had such a thing before to refer to ancient Babylon, to Bavel, to Iraq, and anyone ever call Iraq, to call Iraq, to call it the land of Nimrod. Well, that's exactly what it does here in this pasuk. He Bavel, k'mo shenema b'Nimrod, v'ati reishis mamlachtoi Bavel. The beginning of his authority was in Bavel. Bif sochecha, ritzen leimar, yan higum, bepirsum, bepischei shari hu'ir. Very important translation. The word pischecha means an opening, it means a gate. And this, and it, the way it's being used in the pasuk, according to the Mitzudos, is that the authority of these 7/8 leaders will be bepirsum. It's not going to be hidden. It's going to be in public, like by the front gate. Ritzon lemar yanhigum bepirsum bepischa shariyer vehitzel mi Ashur. Ritzon lemar b'meshiyamid melech Hamashiach ba'Ashur nitzivim b'nei Yisrael. This that the king of Melech Hamashiach will establish the land of Ashur leaders from b'nei Yisrael. B'ze yatzil eshal mi Ashur Asher yov be'artzeinu ki lufi sheyia emas hanitzivim aleihem lo yavi la mulchama ki im laharis hachna. They will not come to war, but only to show humility. Now the Mitzudos David has really said a mouthful. I want to read the pasuk again according to his interpretation, because we're going to have many, many different interpretations. Let's read these two psukim one more time. I'm going back to Pasuk Daled, on page 496. V'hoya zeh. According to his understanding, the words v'hoya zeh refers back to everything that we've learned the last few weeks. V'hoya zeh refers to all of this, all of the events, milchemes goygu magog, the appearance of the Melech HaMashiach. This that he will guide and lead and be given this authority is for what purpose? It's for the purpose of increasing in this world peace. Shalom. The end game of this world is peace. Shalom. It's a very, very, very interesting idea. Is that what you would really think the end game is all about? I would assume the end game is V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz. B'yoyim ahu yihyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. The knowledge, the awareness that there is a creator. Yeah, of course, there's also going to be peace.
Hashem Hashem
also. Okay, so maybe we don't really know what the word Shalom means. We're brainwashed that we translate the word Shalom to mean peace. Is that the true, correct translation of the word? Maybe the word Shalom has a much richer, a much deeper meaning, which includes within it a lot more than we commonly translate as peace.
Well, that depends on your definition of peace.
Okay, exactly. So, I mean, well, what...
It still translates as peace, depends on what
peace,
what your vision of peace is.
Okay, so this is something which requires a lot. This is not a simple matter at all. It says by Pinchas, it says, Nasati is Brisi, what does it say by Pinchas? Pinchas, Ben Elazar. As Brisi Shalom, I've given him the covenant of Shalom. He, Pinchas, gets peace. And the peace of Pinchas, the Vav, is Ketua, is cut. Here it says, V'hoyezer, this individual, okay, it's not, I'm really telling you a different translation. I'm telling you a translation which is going to contrast with Pinchas, about Pinchas, Ze Eliyahu. And Eliyahu HaNavi is given the Baruch of peace. We're going to see soon another translation. V'hoya zeh is a reference to the Melech HaMashiach. So the difference between the Melech HaMashiach, I'm jumping ahead a little bit now, but let's just go down this thought. Both the Melech HaMashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi have the gift of peace. V'nasati lo yisbrisi shalom. Who? To whom? To Pinchas. Who is Pinchas? Pinchas zeh Eliyahu. Who else gets the brach of peace? The Melech HaMashiach. V'hoya zeh. This individual, it's not what the Mitzvot David says, but let's put that aside for the moment. V'hoya zeh, this person, the Melech HaMashiach, Shalom, will be a man of peace. What's the difference? So, but hine anoichi, shaleach lochem, eis, Eliyahu HaNavi, lifnei b'yoyim Hashem, ha'gadol v'hanayra. Eliyahu HaNavi will come before the Melech HaMashiach. So what then is the difference between Eliyahu HaNavi and the Melech HaMashiach? If Eliyahu HaNavi has the bris of peace, and the Melech HaMashiach, v'hayazeh shalom, what then is the difference between Eliyahu HaNavi and the Melech HaMashiach? Each one has the gift of peace. The answer is, Eliyahu's peace comes with a broken vav. And the peace of the Melech HaMashiach, the vav is complete. It gives us now a whole new appreciation of why there is a vav ketua, a broken vav. The peace of Eliyahu HaNavi is not complete. His peace, there's something damaged. There's something lacking. It's not the shalom, this peace. But part of the peace, the letter, one of the primary letters of the word shalom is lacking. There's damage. Now the letter vav, we don't even need the letter vav. The letter vav really serves as a vowel, a cholam. And it's very often in Chazal tells us that when something is complete, we express its shleimus, its completeness, by padding it with a vav. And when there's something lacking, we indicate that it's not 100% complete when it's choser. Mole and choser. You can pronounce the word shalom with the vav, you can spell it with the vav, and without the vav. With the vav connotes a greater degree of peace, and without the vav connotes, yeah, this peace, but it's not temporary peace, or it's a very delicate peace. It's lacking. We have this all over. Many we have, for example, the word kavod. The word kavod sometimes is spelled with a vav, and sometimes is spelled without a vav. When it's spelled with a vav, it represents true honor. When it's spelled without a vav, yeah, the whole world bows down to this person, but not because they really respect him, it's because he has the authority. So he occupies the office of something that's greater than him, so he gets the honor. But is it a true honor? No. But a person who's deserving, he gets the real honor. His kavod is mole with a vav. Same thing, there are two types of peace. There's an everlasting peace, and there's a peace that's very delicate. The Melech HaMashiach is given the gift of peace. Yeshaya said it, Lemarbe HaMisra uleshaloim ein ketz, concerning the Melech HaMashiach. He will achieve the ultimate authority, uleshaloim, and the peace that he will be instrumental in bringing to this world will be without any limit. Micha, who lived in the same time as Yeshaya, saw the same vision and said it in different words. He said, V'hoyezeh shalom. This man, the Melech HaMashiach, his goal, his purpose, will be to achieve peace. So they're both saying the same thing. But we cannot forget that the man who comes before the Melech HaMashiach, Eliyahu HaNavi, Hine Anochi Shlech Lachem Eis Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Boy Yoim Hashem, also has the gift of peace. Who is Eliyahu HaNavi? Pinchas. Pinchas Eliyahu. V'nasati layis b'risi shalom. But in the Sefer Torah, that vav is there, but it's damaged. It's split. To indicate that as we come closer to Mashiach, and we have various manifestations, revelations, of forms of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is not just the man, it's the concept. Mashiach is not just the man, it's the concept. And these concepts, they trickle down, it echoes throughout history until we come to the ultimate shleimus of these concepts that are crystallized in the form of a human being. There's peace. Baruch Hashem, we live in a world today where there's more peace today than there was years ago. Not saying there's peace today, not such a fool to tell you that there's peace in this world. The world is full of wars wherever you turn. Maybe you'll see there, but it's not Baruch Hashem. We're not living now during World War II. Okay, there is the world appears, at least to the naked eye, to be a bit more stable than it was in previous generations. Yeah?
The word shalom, could it have, it can encompass both shaloms that you're talking about. And one would be b'hayyadzeh, it would be everything up until, but it is a shalom, it has another meaning. It has a dual meaning, a two-faced. Shalom is hello and goodbye, coming and going. And the first part, b'hayyadzeh shalom, would be for the first shalom. And then the second shalom would be kiyovo, the one that will come, which will be the Melech Mashiach.
So it's saying, we're going to say goodbye to Ashur, and we're going to welcome Mashiach. You're translating the word shalom as hello and goodbye. We use the word shalom in our vocabulary as welcome and
goodbye.
So you're right. So that's all part of the big question. Define, can someone please stand up and define the precise meaning of the word shalom?
Shalom is also shalom in the group. The body's function is shalom in body, so it's not just shalom of the body.
Shlemos.
It's dealing with relationship of what's happening to have peace.
Okay, the word shalom is possibly one of the most complicated words to translate, because we find it being used in many different ways. We use it in reference to peace. We use it in reference to Hashem's name. Hashem is called shalom. Hashem is everything. Shalom represents achdus. It represents harmony. Synthesis. On the other hand, I mean, there's the example that the many want to discuss the idea of a pot of water. Water and fire do not mix. The pot makes peace between the two. The pot, that piece of metal, is what allows water and fire to coexist. But they're still on two sides. They're not synthesized. Shalem is a different word which means total synthesis, where there's no barrier in between. So, how does shalom relate to shalem? I'm just throwing out words and ideas. You're saying very, very good. When Mashiach will come, we will say goodbye to an old world order,
right,
and welcome in a new world order. So, in a way, shalom is the end of the old, goodbye to the old, and the welcoming of the new. Absolutely. Okay, well, here, I just want to point out this idea is that two individuals, this is just a popular idea, there are two individuals who have the gift of peace, Eliyahu HaNavi and the Melech HaMashiach. Eliyahu HaNavi comes before Mashiach. Eliyahu HaNavi, his peace, unfortunately, is lacking. The vav of his shalom is broken. Which, there are many interpretations as to what's the significance of it being broken, but on a very mundane, a very simple look, it means, being that the letter vav is the letter which ordinarily indicates shlemus, when you want to express that it's not just something, but it's the complete form of something, and that letter Vav is what normally is used to bring out that idea, and in this instance there's damage, there's some type of harm, there's some type of damage in the Vav, so that indicates is that his peace is not the same level as the peace of the Melech HaMashiach, who will have the ultimate true everlasting peace. We all hear these different peace treaties between, you know, they're very soon going to launch this new peace initiative in the Middle East, which I don't know, what I have no idea what it's all about. So, halavai, it should work. And will that peace be the peace of Mashiach? Not likely. That's some type of temporary bandage we've been trying for hundreds of years, or whatever it is, to try to patch up some temporary situation in order that we shouldn't kill each other until Mashiach comes and find the permanent solution. That's also peace. But that peace is the Vav Ketua. That's the Shalom of Eliyahu. That's Lifnei Boyoyim Hashem. That appears here in this pasuk. Okay, so let's go back and read the pasuk again according to the Mesudas Hoyezeh Shalom. The purpose of the Melech HaMashiach is to bring peace. He is the man of peace. What is the purpose? What is the how will he bring out his peace? Ashur, and he's giving us a very, very powerful example. The arch enemy of the Jewish people. And we're using Ashur, not Mitzrayim, not Edom, not Bavel, not the Yavanim, because Micha is speaking to his people. And the time that he's speaking, the arch enemy number one is the nation of Ashur. And he's illustrating Ashur. Could you imagine Ashur Kiyavu V'Yartzeinu? When they come to visit us, they want to come visit us. V'chiyidroich bi'ar minoyseinu. They're going to walk into our palaces. What?
Yeah.
Our homes.
Come into our territory.
Into our territory, our palaces. They're going to come to the Knesset. They're going to come to the Harabayas. They're going to come to greet us. Could you imagine that they're going to do such a thing? They're going to trample upon our territory, so we'll be petrified. Who knows? They're going to come to kill us. They were more mighty than the Jewish people at the time when Micha was speaking. So Micha calms everyone down and says, "Do not worry, do not worry. They're not going to come to harm us. They're going to come to us in humility. They're going to." Subjugate themselves to us. They're going to bow. You know why? Because, now here is where we're getting a little bit difficult.
Yeah, how does that connect to the next part?
Oh, because, let's finish this passage. Because, Vahakemonu Olav Shivaroim. Because the Melech HaMashiach, I'm reading now the Pshut HaShalomik, I'm not reading over here the Drasha that we're going to read in a few moments. It's because I will establish Olav. Who is the subject of the word Olav according to the Mitzudos David? And the answer is the nation of Ashur,
right.
Not us. That's what's very misleading here. There's a fundamental difference between the Medrash and the Pshutai Shal Mikra. The difference is, according to the Pshutai Shal Mikra, the subject of the word Olav is the nation of Ashur, or for that matter, our enemies. We will send down, put this in modern terms, we will send down to Iran 7 leaders, 7 Jewish leaders who will supervise everything that's taking place in Iran, and 8 governors, eight assistants. V'hakeimonu olav, I will establish upon the nation of Ashur, or for that matter, in modern day, upon our enemies, 7 roim, shepherds, meaning 7 overseers. 7, I don't know what you want to call them, 7
governors,
inspectors, czars, I don't know, 7 people, commissioners, that are going to oversee what is taking place in this country. They will come there and they will open up the books and have full access to the activities of the government. And ushmona nisichei adam, 8 leaders of the people. Again, not upon us. The Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, they're not interested. No, they don't. No one likes to be told what to do. So they're not interested in listening to taking orders. But the 7/8, 15 people, these 15 leaders are going to go down to our enemies and they're going to sit there and, you know, see what's doing. Take over. Take charge. And what are they going to do? They're going to establish in the territory, in the land of our enemies, a new law, a new order. And anyone that doesn't behave is killed. Anyone that doesn't want to follow the rules, you're out. Hang them up. V'ra'u es eretz Ashur, these 7 leaders, the 7 shepherds, and the 8 nesichei Adam, the 8 leaders of man, will shepherd, will oversee,
govern.
Good word, will govern. Es eretz Ashur b'cheref, according to the parish of the Mitzvah David, what's it called? Martial law? What's it called?
Yeah, martial law.
Martial law. You don't follow the rules. There's no trial. There's no judgment. You're dead on the spot. Okay, it's that's b'cheref. Furthermore, there's another country that is not behaving, and that is the land of Bavel. Okay, so now we have to appreciate that. Again, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the people of his time. And in his time, Ashur was the major threat. But who was on the horizon? Bavel. Because they came next. Because Bavel ultimately rose up, overthrew the nation of Ashur. They became the world's superpower. And they're the ones who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So he's speaking to his people. And he's saying, right now, arch enemy number one is the nation of Ashur. Who is the nation, arch enemy number two? Number two, the second one that's budding, the Avos Ubanim, who's a little guy, who's getting there, who's developing, Bavel. Bavel's nickname is the land of Nimrod. The Eretz Nimrod Bif Socheha. I'm going to send there the seven leaders, these same 15 people. There are 15 people, whoever they are, they're going to rule over the land of Nimrod in public, in the gates, in their courts, in their courts, in their palaces, in their central, in their cities, in the gates of their cities, v'hitzil me'ashur. And by doing so, by establishing this new regime that is going to be led by the Jewish people, by these 15 leaders, the Jewish people will be spared. We will be saved from an attack by Ashur. Kiyovo v'yaretzeinu. And now he's, according to Micha, he's repeating himself. He's going back and repeating himself. This goes back to what he said at the very beginning of Pasik Dalet. Voyezesh Ashur kiyovo v'yaretzeinu. He's now repeating himself. By establishing these 15 leaders, they will be subjugated underneath our authority, and we will thus be spared from the onslaught of Ashur, Kiyova v'Yartzenu, when they come into our land, v'chiyidroich b'gvuleinu, and when they tread upon our border. They will not come to harm us. They will come with humility, with recognizing that we are supreme, and they will bow before us, and anyone that does not behave will be killed.
I assume there are other interpretations, because to me...
Of course. Hey, we're one thing at a time.
It sounds like an invasion.
Yeah. I mean, okay, fine. But this appears to be the simple translation of these two psukim according to the parish of the Mitzudos David. We're discussing the Melech HaMashiach. His role is to bring peace in this world. So it's almost an oxymoron. And how does he bring peace in this world? He's a by establishing martial law. That's called peace.
Peace through strength.
Peace through not even, it's more than strength. Through
dictatorship.
I mean dictatorship, right? A totalitarian through dictatorship. He's like, you don't start up with me. Cheref. The word cheref is a very powerful word. There's no law and order. There's no mishpat. You're out of line, you're dead. Anyone that doesn't want, anyone doesn't smile.
The best peacemaker is victory.
Okay, but what does victory mean? There are different types of victory. The victory over here appears to be very harsh. And this idea is a new idea we've never come across anywhere before. 15 leaders. Who ever heard of 15 leaders? Doesn't say no medrash yet. Not talking about Dov, no Tchias HaMesim. 15 leaders.
It doesn't say how they're going to take control.
Doesn't say, exactly. Doesn't say, and it calls them by very, very bizarre terms. A shepherd and Nisichei Adam. Shepherds refer to people who lead animals. And Nisichei Adam are leaders of man. We're dealing here with the nations of the world. We're not dealing with animals. So are we calling? You're calling them? Who ye para adam? You're calling them animals? You're calling the nation of Ashur animals? We don't find them being called animals. They're not called animals. Okay, the questions and it's extremely bizarre that we call all of a sudden we're calling Bavel Nimrod, the land of Nimrod. Whoever called the land of Bavel Nimrod? So what, and we use this to these terms when they come in our land and when they tread Yidrech. What kind of expression is that? They tread the Arminoi Seinu. At the end of the pasuk, when he repeats himself, Kiyovo v'yaretzeinu, that part he keeps the same. doesn't change, no deviation, but instead of being consistent, v'chi yidrech bi'ar minoseinu, he changes it to v'chi yidrech bi'gvuleinu. First of all, why is there a need for the repetition into altogether? I mean, it's pretty clear what he's saying. Number two, if you want to repeat yourself, be consistent. Why is there a deviation from our land to our boundary? Again, the 15, what's this 15? 7, 8, 7 shepherds for animals, 8 for people. Verohu, and what is, this is called peace? Peace, that's called peace. V'hoya zeh shalom. When you're going to rule as a dictator with a sword, is that the way we envision peace? That's not the way we envision peace. We envision peace more...
It is when you're talking about people who are a threat to you and people who are invading your land and so on. Yeah.
And why do we want them to come all together? Why do we even want them to come? Let them stay home. We need them to come to Eretz Yisrael and to enter. There's peace, so mind your own business. Stay home. Who's interested? Who's interested in you coming to our land? We're not interested in having and seeing you. Why is it necessary that they should come and they should be yidroich bi'armin oseinu and yidroich bi'gvuleinu? There's peace. You stay home. I'll stay on my side of the ocean and you stay on your side of the ocean. That's called peace. I don't see you. You don't see me. And we're very, very happy.
Cold war?
Cold peace? What is going on here? There are too many questions to be satisfied with the simple translation of the words as given to us by the Mitzudos David, and that is why there's a floodgate of interpretation, both midrashic and homiletic, to open up this discussion. Yeah.
About the same as regard to Eretz Yisrael. And the Vuleinu is referring to Yerushalayim.
Okay, and, that's an idea.
And then what do you have? You have all three major religions that have a center in Yerushalayim, and they all come together, to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Okay, that's a loaded statement. Okay, that's a loaded statement. What exactly that means? Okay, what exactly that means? I have no idea. No one knows how all things are going to play out, but okay, at least we've read the translation, very simply, the Mitzudos, and the questions are much greater than the answers. Now let's see Rashi. One thing is that Rashi Pasik Dalam, Hayezeh Shalom, Gomor V'Kavua Be'ein Hefsik Oid. So again, he's coming to parallel what Yeshaya, his contemporary said. The goal of the Melech HaMashiach is that it should be Shalom Gomor, the Kavua, Be'in Hefsik Oid, no longer any break. It's not comparable to other salvations in history where there were difficulties which followed. Everyone knows the famous Chazal that sometimes it's called a Shira, the Oz Noshir Shir Chadash. And Los Lover will sing a Shir Chadash. Chazal tells why is generally when we have various salvation in history, do we call it a shira, b'loshen nekeva, but la'asa lavai, it's a shir, b'loshen zohar. And the answer is, when a woman gives birth, she goes through a very painful experience of labor. And it's not the end, because hopefully she'll have another child, and another child.
It's a weaker form.
There's always going to be more. The song, the joy, is temporary because there's more tsar to come. But when you come to the very, very end, then it's like a male, a zohar, who does not give birth. There is no pain. There is no tsar chevelin for a zohar who does not give birth. The oz noshir shir chadash. When Mashiach will come, it will be the ultimate salvation, the ultimate peace, and there will be no tsar after that joy. So that's pretty much what he's saying over here, that when Mashiach will come, there's going to be the ultimate peace. It's not going to be just a ceasefire. Every type of peace that we have had experienced in world history is nothing more than a ceasefire. It's temporary until there's a new flare-up. And then you start the Chagadya all over again. And then when there's peace, how long does the peace live? It says in Shoftim, it says there was peace for 40 years. When there was a major victory, it's very fascinating, the way the victory was defined was How long could it hold the peace? There's no expectation that a victory is going to be permanent. It doesn't exist, such a thing. Right now, we have brought success. How long can this success last? It's not going to last forever. Will it last for 5 years, 10 years, 50 years?
I think that's a very good measurement. I think you're being honest.
So it says that Shimshon HaGibor, he went and he did something. What he did was so powerful, 40 years. So it brought peace for 40 years. Wow, that's amazing.
Calm
for 40 years. What, you think you're going to bring peace forever? That's foolish. And it's, you know, that's a critical, this idea is a critical idea in West Point. If you go in military strategy, you know, the professionals who deal with the science of war, what's the goal? Well, the goal is to kill everyone. The goal is to take over a territory. What is your end game? When you go to war, when there's a battle, when there is some type of situation, and you have to send in the boots on the ground, what's your goal? And many times the goal is, we want to keep the peace. Mm-hmm. For how long? Well, if we do, if we go and we, if you like, even talk about today, when they act up in Gaza, so the Israelis, they respond. So they go and they send in a few planes and they shoot some missiles. What's the goal? They know. They have it down to a science. If we'll blow up this building, it'll be quiet for 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, it'll be quiet. It'll take them, we know the statistics, it'll take them 3 weeks to clean up the garbage and to figure out what their next move is. So at least for 3 weeks, they'll be quiet. So if there's something important going on in Israel, if a head of state is coming, the President of the United States is coming, and we don't want there to be any wars while he's here, we want to go and allocate all of our resources for his visit, so in order to keep them quiet, so we'll strategically blow up a building in this part of Gaza, because we know that when we'll blow up this building, it'll be quiet for 3 weeks. And that way, we can focus on something else. The end game is 3 weeks. We want a month, then you got to blow up 2 buildings. You want 6 months, then you got to go do this. What, you want a permanent peace? What, are you crazy? It's not going to happen. Wiping all out is not necessarily going to be a solution. Wiping them all out can cause there to be a bigger war. Everything has a cheshbon. And part of the cheshbon is, how long do you want the peace to last? In Tanakh, in Sefer Shoftim, at the end of each battle, each era, it says, and there was peace for X number of years. That was the success. There was no expectation that you're going, that the Palestinian and the enemies, the Canaan living in the land, they're just going to be quiet, because they're not going to be quiet. That's the way it is. If you can shake them up and distract them and weaken them until it takes time for them naturally to rebuild in order to make trouble again, you've succeeded by putting them off for a certain period of time. It's very interesting. You see this in the state of Israel. You read all the different battles. The Six-Day War, the Yom Kippur War, the War of Attrition, all the various wars. When you read about it, there's always, they discuss this, what's the end game? What is the goal of this mission? How long can we keep the peace? There is this vocabulary that is brought out. There's not an expectation that they're going to be quiet, it's going to be good forever and ever, but at least, you know, push them off for a period of time. And that's, that point here is being expressed by Rashi. Throughout history, when there was victory, don't fool yourself. The victory is not permanent. Our enemies hate us. Ha'alocha biyodeinu esav soinei Yaakov. And by extension, Yishmol hates us, and the all of the other nations of the world hate us. When there's a victory, don't expect the victory to last forever. It lasts for a period of time. The difference is that when Mashiach will come, his victory will be permanent.
The final battle.
The final battle. But the point is right now we're not holding at that final battle. Right now, the Mashiach has not yet come. At least not that I know of. And thus, when we think about wars, we have to appreciate, don't have such great hasagos to fight a war where you can expect it's going to be permanently good. It doesn't work like that. The goal is, what could we do to keep things calm for a significant period of time? And when that time will come to an end, we'll worry what to do next. We'll worry about what's our next step to keep things quiet for another period of time. To be quiet forever? Do we really have expectations that we can accomplish such a goal? No. Only Mashiach can bring that ultimate goal, because our enemies hate us so much, it's just unrealistic to achieve the ultimate peace. Other nations of the world, maybe they do have those expectations. What?
When we went into Iraq, we had those expectations.
Say it again?
When we went into Iraq, America.
United States. Yes. So you want to go to maybe the United States, so maybe that is correct. So the United States, when they're fighting their enemies, or other nations, when there are world wars, maybe there are expectations that they can achieve a permanent goal. But we have to appreciate that Klal Yisrael, as a nation, cannot expect to achieve a goal of permanent peace until Mashiach arrives. Because the hatred that our enemies have for us is so deep, it's going to ultimately resurface. Halacha biyodeinu Esav sone Yaakov. Yaakov took the brachos from Esav. The jealousy, the regret that Esav has that he lost the blessings of Yitzchak, of Avraham Avinu, is so deep, it will never, ever go away. And Yishmael, the hatred likewise is there as well. Goresh es ben ho'omo hazos ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. Sarah drove out Yishmael, said to Avram, get rid of him, he will not inherit with my child. That hatred will never go away. And for us to look at this world the same way the United States looks at Russia, maybe there can be a permanent peace between the United States and the Soviet Union. So it doesn't exist anymore. Maybe there can be. It didn't happen, right? Okay, it didn't happen. They're still fighting. But in the battle plans, maybe there can be such an approach that maybe we can accomplish something. Maybe there can be a battle which will be the ultimate decider and change the course of the world forever. But in Yadus, in Klal Yisrael, to go into a war with that expectation to achieve a permanent solution, permanent goal to wipe out our enemy, you can't have that plan. You cannot have such expectations. And if you have too big, we all know in life that that it's very good to have very big expectations, to have she'ifas, to have goals, to accomplish the impossible. That's a very healthy thing in life, to have great aspirations for greatness. But you also have to balance your yearning for greatness with being practical. There has to be a proper balance. And the proper balance is that in war against other nations, don't have the expectation you're going to obliterate your enemy to the degree where they don't exist. Because that's not going to happen until Mashiach comes. And therefore, plan your battles accordingly. Be strategic. What can we do that is normal, that is within our power to achieve peace for a specific period of time? And when we'll get to the end of that period of time, we'll figure out what to do next. And that's until Mashiach, until that will be the ultimate peace. That's what it says over here in this pasuk.
I just want to add to your words. If the World War I, that was called the war to end all wars, that was the first time it was a world war, and in I think a little bit more than 20 years, there was another world war. Many people who fought in World War I had to fight again in World War II. If you were 20 years old, then you were 40. You had to fight in World War II. So they asked Churchill, how long do you think, you know, when they were winning everything, how long do you think the peace will last? So he said 50 years.
Right.
And the truth is that now it's about 70 years. There have been many wars, But a world, I think it's a tremendous shvach to the world that there has not been a world war.
Right. See, Churchill was very wise. You touched exactly upon this point. Churchill understood.
Yeah.
War is not a permanent solution. War achieves a goal for a period of time. And there'll always be resentment. There's always going to be bad feelings. There's always going to be a desire to come back. It's just a matter of time until those that have been defeated will reorganize, get together, and fight back. So what are you fighting the war for? Well, in the meantime, at least you had 50 years. At least you had 50 years of peace. So he was clever enough to understand that.
Yes.
Most people today don't understand that.
Right.
When you probably go talk to politicians, they don't understand that. They think, oh, we're going to do something. We're going to have a solution that's going to change the world forever. There's going to be a permanent peace. Now, the truth, though, is maybe there is a possibility amongst the Ummah Yisraelim, amongst themselves, but amongst us, for Klal Yisrael, against the Ummah Yisraelim, we have to know with the ultimate clarity it's impossible. Because the hatred is like none other. The hatred of Yishmael, the hatred of Esav is like none other, and a war can only achieve that much. And the nafkamina, the practical consequence of understanding this principle is, when you plan for a war, be responsible. Don't try to achieve the impossible, because by doing so, you're going to bring about death that's not necessary. Anyway, you're not going to achieve the goal. Do something with moderation that will achieve a goal for a given period of time, which will allow people to live. And when that time period will come to an end, it'll be someone else's problem. It'll be someone else's problem. There'll be a new government. There'll be a new generation. And they'll deal with it. But to think, oh, right now we're going to solve the problem forever as Jews against our enemies, doesn't happen. And the Pesukim mentioned this over and over again. Shoiftim, there was peace for 40 years. Peace for 20 years. It's limited what we can do. The Melech HaMashiach, Lemarbe HaMisra, Ulesholoim Ein Kates. It's not going to say after the battle of the Melech HaMashiach, Gog Magog, and there was peace in the land for 40 years. There was peace in the land for 50 years. Ulesholoim Ein Kates. There was peace, period, forever. The Hoya Ze Shalom, forever, finished, nothing more. But until that point in time, it's not the way it goes. Okay, let's go further in Rashi. Rashi, Ashur Ki Yavog, back to the Rashi. Kare Ki Mishamish Beloshen Im. Okay, the word Ki is always one of the most complex words in Tanakh. It can mean many things. Rashi always tells it means one of four things. The truth is, it's really, I think, near five or six. Even though Rashi likes to focus on four or five different possible translations, there could be even six. But over here, means im. In this word im, it means b'loshen im. If im yavoi bi'artzenu ka'asher bo'ata. Now, notice Rashi is not like the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David appeared to say is they definitely will come. The question is how they will come. Will they come in peace or will they come in war? According to the Rashi, Rashi says, not necessarily will they come. Our arch enemies, im yavoi, ki yavoi, if they will choose to come visit the land of Israel, they'll come in peace. But it might be in our best interest, stay home. We're not even interested in seeing your face. Rashi, hare ki mishamesh beloshim, im yavoi biartzenu. Kasher bo'ato, like now. He's being practical. Right now, every so often, representatives of the nation of Asher would come to Eretz Yisrael, and they would come in war. They would come to make trouble. In the future, if someone from the nation of Asher will come, he will come in peace, if they'll come. But halavai, they won't even come altogether. If you look back at the Mitzudos, when he writes this, he writes, V'hoyezeh shalom, okay, next line, and then the last line, Af Asher ki yavoi bi'artzeinu, lo yeh neder ha-shalom, Ki lo yavai la milchama kol l'shavar ki behachno yaval. The impression you get from the Mitzudos David is that Asher will definitely come. There's no doubt about it. They're coming. But the only question is, for what purpose will they come? Different approach. Okay, next Rashi, passing page 498. We're going to have, in the future, we have the 15 leaders. According to the Mitzudos, there are going to be 15 leaders who are going to guide our enemies. He learns different. Rabbi Seinu Perishu B'Shemoisim B'Mesech Tasukah. Rashi immediately is going to the Medrash. And he appears to be referring to Tchiyas Sameisim, taking us to a mystical time, our time of Tchiyas Sameisim, and there are going to be seven of the Ishei HaTanach going to guide who? Who then is the subject of the word Olav? Not like the Mitzudos, our enemies, but Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael will be guided by seven shepherds. Rabbi Seinu Perishu Shemosem B'Mesech Tasukah Ve'in Yodeh Meheichan Lamdu. And Rashi says, I do not know from where they derive, where they receive this tradition. Right. Obviously, it's a tradition, a Masara Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. There is no actual text that can support where the Chazal derived the seven. We'll come to it a little bit later on. We'll get to the Medrash, who exactly are the seven leaders over here on the bottom of here. We'll go to it right now. Let's just jump right now down on page 499 on the very bottom. Lekutei Shas. Shiva Roim Ushmoyim Nesichi Adam, Ma Ninu Shiva Roim, David Bo Emsa, David is in the center, Adam, Shase, and David is in the center, right? David Bo Emsa.
You said we weren't going to list
that,
but we are.
That's right. David is an Adam, Shase, Umisushelach, Mimino, Adam, Shase, and Misushelach, this week's parish, okay, in Yom Yoma. Mimino on the right side, Avraham, Yaakov, Umoshe, Bismaloi. Why specifically? Why? What happened to Yitzchak? What happened to Aaron? What happened to the Ushpizen? What happened to Yosef? Okay, Adam, since when did Adam get such prominence? Who ever heard of Mr. Shalach? What does he have to do with anything? Since when did he become a celebrity? What is Shais? Shosli Lakim Zera Acher, he was just a replacement. He was a fill-in for Hevel. Cain killed Hevel. So because Cain killed Hevel, so Adam had another replacement. Shosli Lakim Zera Acher Tachas Hevel Ki Harago Cain. What's this all about over here? Okay, we have to come back to it a little bit later on. We have over here these seven shepherds in Gemara Masechta Sukkah. And who are the eight leaders? Uman Ninu Shmoinin Nisichi Adam. Who are the leaders, the eight leaders? Yishai, Vishaul, Ushmuel, Omois, Tsefania, Tzidkia, Moshiach the Eliyo. Why in this order? What's the significance? You think that Eliyo comes before Moshiach? Not clear at all. Okay, so these are the leaders of man. The first seven, by the way, are called leaders or shepherds. Shepherds focus primarily on animals. Okay, by the way, those were all shepherds. Okay, Avraham. Well, Avraham. No, I take it back. Avraham was not a shepherd. Avraham was a shepherd. What? The Roye, the Rebbe, but his that was okay. The Roye Avraham, but was Avraham himself a shepherd? The Roye Tzoyin did not have peace with the Roye Loit. The Roye Avram, the Roye Loit, there was no peace. So he pardon Eli. Imas Ma'ol, Ayimina, Avram Koved Ma'oid B'mikne with Tzoyin of Abokar. So I guess he was. Okay, I take it back. I guess Avraham was a shepherd. Yaakov for sure was a shepherd. He shepherded the sheep of Pharaoh, the pasuk of Lot. Okay, Moshe was a shepherd. Moshe was a shepherd, for Yisro. And
David
was a shepherd. Okay, and what about Adam? If Adam was a shepherd? Do we have a makar for Adam being a shepherd? Shase, Misushelach? Not aware. Maybe, yeah, who knows? But interesting, now what about the eight ones? These are leaders of man. Yishai, Shol, Shmuel, we know we're definitely leaders. Okay, you can't, so nothing to talk about. Yishai was a leader? We find a source that Yishai was a manhig? He was a leader of man. Do we find such a thing?
All came to him. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
They all came to him? Yeah, okay, could be, I don't know. Okay, Amos, Sefanya. Why Amos and Sefanya more so? We learned Amos. Why almost more than the other prophets? I don't know. Zephaniah, we didn't learn him yet. Tzidkiah, why Tzidkiah? There were many kings. Okay, Tzidkiah was not necessarily a good king. Tzidkiah, Chazal, very critical of Tzidkiah. He was the last king. They're very critical of Tzidkiah. He's called a tzaddik. He was matzdik lev esadin when it was all over. But Chazal are very critical of Tzidkiah. They call him in one place. They call him a rasha. They say horrible things about Tzidkiah. He's a very complicated person. He did not obey the order of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah gave him a direct order to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. And if he would have surrendered, it says in the pasuk that that Yerushalayim would not have been destroyed. The Beis Hamikdash would have been destroyed, but the Jews would not have gone into exile. They would have been allowed to remain living in Eretz Yisrael. It was given a direct, he disobeyed. And Chazal are very critical. Okay, yet he's here, one of the leaders, Mashiach Eliyahu. Why in that order, I do not know. Maybe we'll come across something. Behisaseif Rosh Ha'am. And then we have another one. This we read over here in 2 days ago. Behisaseif, the leaders of the people. Elu Shivarayim Ushmoina Nesiche Adam. The Medrash says, the Pasuk in Zayis HaBracha, when the leaders of the people, when they assemble, it refers to these 15 people, the 7 shepherds and the 8 leaders of man. Okay, so Rashi quotes this Medrash, and he tells us these are going to be the people that will guide the world in the times of Mashiach. Obviously, there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim at this point in time. And these 15 individuals will serve in leadership roles. So I guess if we really... Whatever that means. So this Medrash, by the way, is a fascinating source to study leadership. Today, we suffer greatly due to a lack of leadership. I'm not saying this. Everyone says this. Today, we don't feel that we have leaders. We don't feel that we have people that can unify us, people that are respected, that have power, we listen to. And this has always been a very big topic of discussion. What are the qualities of leadership? Obviously, you're a Shemayim, and you need Torah knowledge, and you need there's certain basic qualities you need, but there are many people that have Torah knowledge and you're a Shemayim, and we do not find them serving as effective leaders. So what is the magic? Where do you get the magic to be a leader? Obviously, these 15 people. There's a whole book, Ishaya Tanakh. How many people are there in Tanakh? Hundreds. Hundreds of people. There's beautiful books going through every single person mentioned in the entire Tanakh, collecting all the various Amari Chazal, describing exactly, giving you a short bio about their life. And many of them, we would assume, were leaders to a certain degree. Why? Then, from all of the Ishaya Tanakh, are these 15 people selected? Obviously, these people possess unique character, unique traits of leadership, which are essential for the world. And if you want to write a doctoral thesis on leadership, this is the makar. This is it. This is a great makar to analyze, study the unique qualities of these 15 people and put together a thesis as to what is the secret to successful leadership. These are the 15 magic ingredients. These 15 people.
So how come Yeshayahu also didn't listen to Yirmiyahu? He's not considered a rasha by anybody and is praised by the sages.
So just like Tzidkiyahu. Yeshua was also criticized.
But he's not considered. He's considered a great king.
So was Tzidkiyahu, was also considered a great king. He was also considered a set. I think they both have a similarity in that at the very end, they were matzdik alei mesadin. At the very, very end, when they realized their mistake, they both said, Tzadik hu Hashem, ki yipiu marisi. Tzidkiyahu, Yoshio, when he died, his last words were, Tzadik hu Hashem, ki yipiu marisi. I have rebelled against Hashem. He was matzdik olav esadin. Tzidkiyahu was also matzdik. They blinded him. They took him to Bavel. They blinded him. They killed his 10 children. And they blinded him. And the Chazal said the reason why he's called Tzidkiyahu is because he was matzdik olav esadin. He accepted upon himself the divine punishment because he made a mistake. He did not listen to the words of Yirmiyahu. So that's why they call tzaddikim.
Did anyone ever listen to Yirmiyahu?
I don't know. Maybe today, maybe we are supposed to listen. Yirmiyahu's words are written for us today in the modern world. Finally, finally, Yirmiyahu will have his audience. There's so many people that have, in their lifetimes, they will never appreciate it. And then after, you know, look at the Briskarov. The Briskarov, you know how many Talmidim he had? Three Talmidim. He sat and learned with three people. That's all he did. Three people. He didn't have yeshiva. He just learned with three people. He had three people that were willing to come learn with him. And today, the Briskarov, they wrote books. Every word that came out of his mouth is in the yeshiva world is Kodesh Kodash. In his lifetime, he wasn't appreciated. Three people will come. Today, if he was alive today, they couldn't build a big enough building to house the people that will come to listen to every word that came out of his mouth. And he was alive. Three people came to listen to him. That's all he had. Okay, Avraham Avinu. He was all alone. The whole world couldn't give a hoot what he had to say. He was on one side, and the whole world was on the other side. Okay, one person that so Yirmiyahu, they plucked out hairs of his beard. They tried to assassinate him. They poisoned his food. Hashem told him, "Don't eat. There's poison in the food." And he couldn't even believe it that these people would actually try to poison his food. They threw him into a dungeon. They tried to kill him multiple times. Today, we savor his every word. Okay, we learn Yirmiyah. I mean, we live with the words of Yirmiyah. In his lifetime, he wasn't appreciated. It's the story of life.
Eliyahu had one Talmud.
Elisha.
But he also had the Cushy. When he was in the well, he took him out.
The Yirmiyahu, the Cushy took him out. The Cushy took out. He had a student who took out the Yirmiyahu. That was Yirmiyahu. That was Yirmiyahu. There was an Eved, a slave who saved his life. He was in quicksand. All right, we'll stop over here.